available to men.
Willamette Betterwick.
Aaron Kobolchuk has joined the conference.
Mike Hudson
has joined the conference.
Hey, Rich, we got Chad and Doug here.
Morning.
Rich, this is Keith.
Hello, Keith.
This is Mike Hudson.
Hi, Mike.
This is Elizabeth Hall.
Good morning.
Has joined the conference.
Hi, Todd Jers.
Hey, Todd. Hi, Elizabeth.
Has joined the conference.
Fred Munzik.
Has joined the conference.
Good morning, good morning.
We're lucky to get
Great, we got a good group of people on the phone today. Thanks for joining. I'll just go through the list I have so far and then let me know if I missed you. Elizabeth Hall, Todd Pierce, Jim Myers, Fred Munzik, Natalie, Chris Walker, Aaron Kobolchuk, Mike Hudson, Chad and Doug, Keith. Did I miss anyone?
Yeah, and this is Ken Lawson, ODFW, Fish Screens and Passage.
Hi, Ken.
How's it going?
Pretty good. All right. We are going to be on the webinar, and sounds like those online have that information. So I'm logged in. We'll have just one portion of the meeting that we'll really want to be presenting on. Otherwise,
our
the handouts were sent out.
Have joined the conference.
Citizen? No, I want citizens.
Hey, good morning on the phone. Who joined?
This is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm not sure he's a citizen.
Okay, so log in on the webinar when you're able. We'll go around the room here first, check our agenda, check in on notes, and then just do the general project update to begin with. This is Rich Piskowski, Corps of Engineers.
Erica Tarbox, Corps of Engineers.
Gustin Khan, Corps of Engineers. Sean Asmussen, Army Corps.
Christy Fortuny, Corps of Engineers.
Logan Negerbon, Corps of Engineers.
Jesse Birchfield, NIMS.
Kelly
James, Corps of Engineers.
Scott
Diamond,
Corps of Engineers.
Daniel
Traylor,
Corps. Doug Carlos.
Has joined the conference.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, sorry, I switched phones.
No problem. Okay, so good. Good morning, everyone. Our agenda starts out normal. We'll take a look at our meeting notes, see if we're ready to finalize those. Then go around and just do a brief project status update. Our bigger agenda items today are we shared a document called the 30-60-90% milestone that Erica and Christy need to copy. That was emailed out earlier with the meeting invite. We want to walk through that as a document to help describe basic concept that we anticipate for those levels of the EDR-DDR documentation process. And then we'll talk more about the Cougar workshop, and Erica has some information she'd like to share. Talk about the process that we're anticipating for that and the materials that will be sent out beforehand with that workshop scheduled on June 26th. So, okay, first thing, let me ask, is there anything we want to add to the agenda today? Anyone have any items?
Hey, Rich, this is Jeff. I'm going to have to leave here pretty quick, and so I wouldn't mind hearing the Cougar stuff switched around in order, if that's possible.
Yeah. That's not a problem, unless anyone else had concerns with that. We can do that. Okay, we'll plan to switch them just after the brief project updates. That only takes a few minutes.
Hey, Rich, what's the meeting number?
Yeah, do you have the email, Keith, or?
I got the update. The code, your 7-digit code I got, is it
password the same as the meeting number?
Oh, on the webinar.
Yeah.
Let me pull that up. I've got that.
It's just the phone number you use to call that.
Yeah, I've got, yeah, it's same phone number as your, that's your
okay.
Meeting number.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, so meeting notes. There were just a couple pages of notes. Does anyone have any?
Did I send you any on that one? I know I looked at them.
That's what I remember.
April 4th meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about... No, notes for the May 2nd meeting.
Oh. May 2nd. This one. No?
They were attached to this meeting.
Okay. Right, yeah. No, I'm just reading this
now. Okay. Anyone else who's taking a look at them have any questions or comments on the notes? Do people need a couple more days to submit comments, finalize those?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's see, we're on the 6th with the end of the week?
Yeah.
Okay. So, requesting any final comments on the notes be sent in by the 9th, this Friday, and then we'll finalize those. Okay, so just going around now on the project updates. Jesse, would you like to start today with
a brief update
for Detroit?
Sure. On Detroit, we got a bunch of balls in the air, if you will. We got the EDR, 90% EDR. We had comments came in on that, and we're going to discuss those, so you'll see something back on that next month or so. Then 30% tent control EDR. We did not send that out to the region, and largely because there wasn't a whole lot of new data in there from what was before. I believe that what was most of interest were the new updated temperature model results. So our plan is, once we have those, we're going to share that here to send that out.
Jeff, I know we talked briefly at our last meeting, and I know you've been busy with other things, but there was a request from the region to review that 30%. Is that what you're saying, that once you have the temperature information, that 30% will go out for review?
We were thinking we would just share the temperature part, but you want the 30%, that's awesome.
It's just that I can't hear Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, can you go close to the phone?
Yeah.
We didn't think there was anything enough to justify sending it out, is why we were hesitating. Not that there's some secret we're trying to keep, but temperature modeling data, which is what we understood everybody was most interested in, that hasn't been updated. But that's being worked on by USGS. And when we have that, we weren't going to go back and add that to the 30%, but we could have a meeting here where we could walk everybody through what the new temperature modeling data shows. That's what we were thinking.
Okay, well, maybe we'll just re-ask the question to the group. Do we want to start that way, let the team present the temperature information, and then do that, just ask the question at that point about reviewing the
30%? When is 60% due out?
The 60% due in November.
I mean, I guess the only thing we were thinking was, will this new temperature modeling influence your design of the structure? Because idea is that you'll have plenty of openings so that you can meet whatever the temperature targets are within a certain range.
Yeah, like Jeff said, I don't know if it'll be July or August, but we would plan to bring that to the meeting. My only concern about our 30% that we sent out is this old data, and I don't want to confuse people like, hey, what are you doing when we're updating our temperature?
We get a bunch of comments, and we have to deal with that. That was our plan.
Okay. Well, given that there is some outdated information that will be influenced by this temperature evaluation that's coming up, Is that reasonable then to just get the temperature information presented and then consider the review at 60%, or we can ask again, it's such a 30% go out for review after that's on the table.
And if nothing else, if we do the data, the new modeling results data, and then send the 30% out, it kind of delays that going out, but at least then people have the new data and they're not making comments on the old data, mm-hmm. that just ends up being confused. So if everybody still wants to see it, we recommend it be in conjunction yeah. with those two going together so okay. that you know here's the new temperature data, ignore the old end of the report.
All right, so that, any comments on the phone about that plan to get the temperature information presented next for a review of any level? Okay, and maybe we could consider as well just a thorough presentation of what's in the 30% and jump to the 60% as a formal review, but we'll consider that at the next
right.
one.
Okay. Yes. Then the next thing on the list is we are going to contract out the floating surface collectors, floating screen structures, contract. We're going to contract that out. We're still working to get that in place, so we don't have any update there just yet. And then the one thing that I think we mentioned at the big brief we had over at BPA, whatever that was, March or something, I don't remember exactly when it was now, but it was where we were trying to get our heads wrapped around river flows, what that line looks like throughout the year, what's come out of that surface for meeting temperatures, and then when the fish pass, so we could kind of figure out what's going on, and it all starts to make sense how big the collector should be, and that temperature modeling, mm-hmm. how that influenced this, and we're making some progress on that, and likely also sometime later this summer, we can have data to present. Maybe that all comes together at the same time, but I agree that that could influence how this whole thing ends up looking. But we don't have our heads totally wrapped around all that data. We don't have all that data yet, but we're getting some of that in and we're starting to make some headway on that. So hopefully that could all come together at the same time and we can talk it all through and have our big presentation on that whole thing at the same time.
So you think in July or August?
Probably more like August, but yeah.
Will that information go into the 60%
They're just working like crazy to get some pipes in. I mean, everybody has the camera so you can see their progress. On the actual pipe lining, we're due it hopefully today to go out to advertisement for that work. And then we'll be open for 30 days for bids, and then it's the best value trade-off, and we'll be evaluating what proposals come in to us, and our goal is to award by the end of September. So are there any questions for me on either of those jobs? Okay, that's all I have, Rich.
Thanks, Natalie. I know there's the MLC process was discussing the 2018 adult ladder potential interruptions.
Right.
Okay, for people's so awareness.
Yeah, so that seemed to have been approved, at least
okay.
2018. I don't know if we'll need 2019 or 2020 at this time. We'll have to see how those schedules come in from the contractor. And my hope is that we won't.
Right. Supposed to be done. Supposed to be done by then. But.
Yeah. Okay. So we're supposed to start the work. You know, they're going to need about. Well, while we're trying to award, is that we think they're going to need time to get some equipment ready, and we're giving them a year to figure that out, and then we're also giving the adult ladder contractor time to finish so that they won't be in each other's hair, and then so the pipelining will come in basically October 1st and start move. They'll probably move in September of October 2018 and then start the work in October, and we hope that it'll all be done by, you know, mid-February.
2019?
Right, correct. Any other questions for me?
Thanks, Natalie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the final active project, Cougar, we're going to kind of move up the agenda item anyway to talk about the upcoming workshop, but I think we'll be essentially covering anything on the
status of the project. We just finished 30% DQC review. We're addressing comments right now, and I expect that that document will be out to NIMS for their review in early July. I don't have the exact schedule date in front of me, but that's maybe even sooner than that. I'd have to check, but mid-June to early July, it should be out to NIMS.
NIMS and the rest of the team, okay.
Yes.
So early July, we'll want folks to be thinking about or being prepared to review that. July 4th?
Maybe, sure. Take that word.
Okay. So I know, just as a way of introduction, Erica, we have our workshop that's scheduled for June 26th. I believe I've got the lobby conference room for that meeting here, so you can avoid the security check-in, and we can make sure the carts are all open for you at lunch. the overall, I know we want to kind of talk about today, talking with Erica before this meeting, about what's intended and how we're going to get through that together. And I think, Erica, you've got some information to share, but overall, I know the goal is to be presenting on the elements and options of those various elements. And today we want to kind of just get some feedback on the process, because the information isn't all ready to go share at this point, but kind of walking through what are we thinking about and how we want to get through it at the workshop. That sounds about right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I do want folks to be aware that right now we're not as far as you think we are. So at the workshop, we're going to be we have four elements we're discussing. We're discussing configuration, mooring, fish transport, and crew access. And so those are the four elements, and of those four elements, most of them have three, one of them has two kind of options that are, we could place, you know, like the mooring. The mooring has two options. We can either use, through our research, we've learned that we need three connection points. So we either are going to use three battered dolphins, or we're going to use a large stair tower with two battered dolphins. I have figures I will be showing here shortly. So in that kind of thing, we have to look at those against criteria. We have biological criteria, we have operation and maintenance criteria, dam safety criteria, and then there's specifically hydraulic criteria listed in there. Kelly, do you remember? I'm trying to go from, we're working on developing this matrix, so.
Okay.
Could
you relist the four main elements?
Yeah, and they are listed here. It's configuration, mooring, fish transport, and crew access. And so these are just very sketch, preliminary box shapes. We are not talking screen location. We're not talking hopper location, flow. Those things are going to be coming later between once we've made the decision of where the FSS is going to be located, its configuration, where that's going to happen. Then we can start talking about all those other pieces that go into making the FSS. And so we felt that this is an important part because we're working on addressing those risk criteria that were identified in the October meeting with some of these things like configuration. So it's important to be where the fish are located based on our study. So these are the three options we came up with, and we'll be looking at how best these three options address that given criteria. So I guess we can go ahead and start clicking through. All right.
Yep.
So I'm not sure how this shows up on everyone's screen here. Let's see if I can. So this is configuration one. This is a single entrance floating screen structure. This is basically your standard. Okay, let me zoom out a little bit. This is your standard, what you would expect to see for a floating screen structure. It would be a straight linear raceway. We're expecting that with the structure length of about 160 feet plus, these are estimated values, keep in mind, an additional 60 feet for our flume connection to the water temperature control tower. That's what WTC is. That you would be about 220 feet out from the base of that water temperature control tower straight out. You'll get a little bit more here moving on. So the next configuration we're considering, A2, we're calling this a dual entrance angled FSS. Here you can see the water temperature control tower. So this currently is where flows are flowing into the water temperature control tower. And we would like to position our FSS along the side of the structure there. So flow would be coming in through here. You would have a little bit of angle to your raceway that wouldn't be perfectly linear. So this is one option we're considering, and we'll be looking at how best this addresses, some of those risk factors that were brought up in that October meeting. This one here is our third configuration. It's really just a smaller version of the A1 that we just looked at. It's a dual entrance collector, and it also would sit out in front of the water temperature control tower approximately, let's see, did I add this?
Total of 180.
So the structure length itself is approximately 120. Again, these are rough numbers. This one is still kind of going through development and refinement, but right now we're going with the 120. And we have that approximate flume length of 60 feet. That flume length is to get us out far enough in front of the water temperature control tower so that we're not having an impact on the RO intake that's fairly well, it's down in elevation. You don't normally see it at high water in the reservoir, but there's a structure down there we're trying to clear, and that's why the 60 feet out from the tower. So then moving on, I might have to make these a little smaller even. So all options here will be shown with the large 180-foot-long FSS. That's just the information we had to make it work for this time frame. So this here is a mooring option. Let me scroll down a little bit. I have some. So this is the mooring option. You have a battered dolphin here. So it's one vertical pile with two support piles coming off at an angle. Again, that's what you have here, one vertical pile and the two angled battered piles coming off. Right now, this we had some AE work performed, and they were put these piles at an 8-foot diameter, so they're quite large. We'll see an elevation here in a minute on how high up out of the water all this is. Then we have a stair tower here. So the stair tower acts as your third point for mooring, and that measures about 30 by 30. Any questions so far? Okay. And another thing to keep in mind, actual locations of these items will be moving based on if we're over here up against the side of the tower, you know, we're going to have to look at not only clearing a little bit of space back in here, but we're going to have to look at if we go with the stair tower mooring option, where that's going to be located and what impact that's going to have to, like, this existing frame pad or other structures. So the exact location of the mooring is not defined. It's just, are we using two battered dolphins and a stair tower, or are we going to use three battered dolphins?
And how far does the stair tower go?
So the stair tower, it's going to be approximately 270 feet tall. It's quite a large structure, and that would, for crew access, would require operators to walk multiple flights of stairs to access that FSS. And that's just because the reservoir has such high fluctuations that we're trying to accommodate for. It's major. So this is mooring option two, the three battered dolphins. And then this here, down the bottom. So here we're showing our fish transport F1, which would be a mono. I'll scroll back up here to the picture just a second. You seem to not show up quite as well.
I have a stupid question. Is the flume just in the water that you're screened off?
So the water
tower.
Yes. So the water will be coming in through here, and then exiting the system through here. That gives us our gravity feed, so that we're hydraulically connected.
Okay. The screen fish are somehow getting into the fish transport thing.
Yep. So for right here, we're looking at option one fish transport with the monorail system and crew access, which is a walkway to the stair tower. So here you would have a monorail system that's across. This is approximately 270 feet in the air, and the elevation is coming up next. Fish would be picked up from the FSS, hauled up to that 270 feet in the air, hauled along this path, and then at this time, this drawing shows us placing them into a truck in the parking lot structure here. We may be considering placing them here if we determine there is enough room. We've worked with the project. They say that it could possibly be done, but that's a little too much detail for this. Any questions on the monorail system or the crew access? Let me go to the elevation real quick. So here, this again is still monorail system with crew access. You have the monorail system here. It could be at this low point, or it could be up in here, just depending where the reservoir is at. So you would have this hopper that travels out, drops down to wherever the FSS is in elevation, then picks up the fish and takes them through that path showed out on the plan view and deposits them into the truck. Employees would have to access up through the stair tower, across the monorail, and would also have a crew access bridge. So the crew would follow the same path as the monorail system, walking up here at this elevation, and then traveling down this stair tower to wherever that FSS is.
You can put a little walkway along the hopper, let the crew go down on the hopper.
Or up. Yeah, we've talked about that. I
the hopper really is just hanging from a cable.
Yeah.
Also note the battery piles here. You can see they're fairly large. They need to cover that full, be able to cover the full change of the FFS reservoir elevation fluctuation.
So just for a process question, you're just kind of giving us sort of this brief overview, and then we're going to talk about this in more detail at the workshop.
Yes, and I'm just prepping you for, these are the elements we're going to be considering and looking at, these four elements. These are the alternatives, or the options we've come up on how to address configuration, mooring system, crew access.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, since our engineer wasn't able to make it for good reasons today, can we get a copy of these? So that we can discuss a little bit.
They will be in the read-ahead document
okay.
that you guys get.
Okay, good.
We're actually going to, from ODFW standpoint, we're kind of hurting for the 26th. We don't have people available, so it'd be great to have that stuff ahead of time so we could at least take a look at it, be able to supply some comments before the meeting.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Jeff. I'll check back in with you guys. We want to make sure we have good attendance, so I'll follow up, Jeff.
Yeah, that just unfortunately was a bad day for a number of us, and so we'll try and catch up later then. I got to take off right now, so thanks for the overview, and that'd be great to get that stuff sooner than later to take a look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, see ya.
So this is moving on. This is our... Sorry, was that a question?
Okay.
So this is our second option for fish transport and crew access. You can see it's a smaller system, and it is using an amphibious vehicle. And that would be used to transport fish and to provide crew access. So it would be basically a vehicle / boat that they can drive right up, park it on the FSS, load fish onto the FSS, drive it off the FSS, drive it up the dam road. Well, this probably isn't the exact road. There's a road up the backside of the dam. They can drive it up and take them to the location downstream or placement. Does not require any of those major overhead bridges, question?
No, I was making a comment. You're telling me the duck has legs?
The duck has legs.
Ground ones.
Yeah. So it does get a lot, it gets rid of having that large stair tower for crew access, the big monorail system. You still need to have the mooring supports here. But it's a less overhead structure. You would have some type of crane system, but FSSs have crane systems to move and transport things on the structure.
Did you look at how many alternatives you have for this fish transport?
For fish transport, we have three.
Oh, I'll wait to get through.
Okay. So we're at our third option here. And this is using a ferry type system that brings the fish from their location on the FSS, places them on a ferry / fish barge, barges them over to the side of the tower, and then places them either on a rail system that brings them out to the parking lot here again to the fish truck, or we may be on top of the fish tower that's a design detail we still need to work out. And then for crew access at this one, that would be down a stair tower, most likely some type of small, short walkway that takes them out off the edge of the water temperature control tower to a stair structure that's attached to the water temperature control tower, and then they go down the stair tower, so they're still having to climb the flights of stairs. However, we don't have that big 30 by 30 structure out in the middle of the cul-de-sac. They would then walk across a floating walkway to access the FSS.
So those are the options we have for fish transport, and here is an elevation view of kind of what that would look like. So you have your moorings here, your structure, where the hopper is picked up on a crane, place it onto the ferry / fish barge that barges it to the side of the tower, takes it up and over and places it into the fish transport truck.
Is that drawing, well, it's not really the scale, but what elevation is that looking at? Like how low a reservoir elevation?
So it is shown at 1516 right here.
That's too low.
And then
1571 is where you use the temperature.
And then up here, we're looking at 1737. And then the top of the structure up here is 1752. So it's a very large structure. It's these mooring piles, if I had to estimate, would go from 1705 all the way down to 1516. So, and that's not accounting for how far into the bottom of the reservoir they have to go.
Driving that up there. Once in several piles.
Go ahead.
I was kind of following up with your question about, with process. When we're into the workshop, Erica, how can you describe how each of these will be kind of talked through and evaluated and how the workshop would look?
So we have...
You're going to be laying this out in a series of matrices.
Yes, we'll be laying these out in a series of matrices, and we will be looking at them against their criteria, predefined criteria. Mm-hmm. And that criteria right now covers, like I mentioned earlier, biological criteria, so location, attraction, flow, interference, yeah. And then we move on to other things like operation and maintenance, dam safety was another. These are kind of big umbrella criteria that have sub-criteria underneath them.
Okay. I think the H&H criteria is just a yes, no, so we're not using it to rate any of them. It's just whether or not they meet that criteria that's required.
Yeah, because we're not going to design anything that's not going to meet the criteria that we've identified. So it kind of was a no-starter for us.
So the package of materials then that come out before the workshop would contain these matrices?
Yes, it'll have these matrices. It'll have a document to kind of step you through.
These diagrams showing, describing.
Yeah, it'll have these diagrams. The document will step you through the process. And then we'll come right now with kind of the matrices completed, kind of a straw man, numbers filled in. These are internally, based on our best information. This is how we would rank, mooring options 1 for location or configuration 1 for location. Okay. And then have the discussion of
what you guys have
has left the conference.
What I heard was the team will provide a preliminary evaluation based on these criteria.
Yes.
Lay out in the matrices these 4 major elements and the options.
Yes.
And have it evaluated against those criteria for that will drive the discussion then.
Yes.
Get input then from the team on if did this get scored correctly? Did we forget something? Do you have a different opinion? And,
Because then
so
I think that's more efficient. That as long as you're not already, PDT already decided this is the solution.
Right.
It's still sort of a draft that you're actually looking for input, that you're willing to make modifications. That's, we've had previous experiences where both sides, one where you get a completely blank matrix, and we go to the meeting and nobody's really that prepared to fill it in, and so it's not that effective. But then we've had the other experience where you give us the matrix and say, well, here it is, any comments? And then I give comments like, oh, too bad, it was really hard for the PDP to come up with the solutions, but we can't change them now.
I'm hearing we're landing in between.
Good. That's great.
And then that'll be the basis of your next document, which would be the 60%.
The 60%, which is due out in September.
Okay.
And I think it's early September, but I can verify that.
Is there an ETA for this packet so we can do our pre-planning based on that?
We have our estimate processes, and we have a meeting on the 26th.
Well, yeah, so that we're effectively 3 weeks out from our meeting.
So, I mean, because I want to have some sort of a pre-meeting and I need to schedule it, it'd be nice to have a chance to read it and absorb it.
Yeah, I think I think everyone recognizes the more information we can get out, the sooner, the better the workshop. But Erica was mentioning she's got a PDT meeting tomorrow and then a check-in with upper folks above her. I guess I'll be trying to push the team to get information out as soon as possible, maybe even in pieces that allow some things that aren't needing further check-in and they're ready to go, get those out sooner than later and so on.
Okay. Thanks.
So the meeting is right now July 26th.
Oh,
right. So June 26th. Oh, June 26th.
3 weeks from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If they get it out 2 weeks in advance, that would be fun.
That's next week.
Okay.
It's done. Coming up, but...
Yeah, we definitely have to run it through management before we can.
I understand.
So I had another alternative. Fish transport, I believe. Yes, it was when you talked about the amphibious vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at having that vehicle or the boat or the ferry or something go to the road and then, you know, have a crane installed there that could, you know, move the fish with a hopper to a truck and transport it that way? Because I'm just thinking the amphibious vehicles are pretty expensive and have lots of details. And if you're driving that back and forth on the road, don't you have to worry about, you know, dragging oil and grit back into the reservoir and all that kind of stuff? I don't know. It's just another alternative. It's kind of in between your last alternative, the ferry, but that involves all the stuff on the control tower, right? The ferry to a dispatch hall.
This one. This is your third.
Yes. Yeah. I think the ferry would kind of address would be a better solution than having the amphibious. Than buying.
You're not really using the
amphibious.
But it just seems like, you know, another option to fish from the facility over to a road and then drive them.
So I think that would be the ferry option.
So are you open to additional alternatives that people come up with? Sorry, pretty much narrowed it down.
We've narrowed it down to these.
Do you want to use the workshop to confirm to get? Well, essentially, it sounds like the team would be bringing forward these and asking for concurrence or refinement.
Mm-hmm.
Something is drastically missed, that's the purpose of the workshop, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, in effect, asking for people to come with ideas if you don't think these are going to fit the bill.
Yeah, okay. That covers pretty much what we'll be talking about in the workshop. I mean, there's some finer details, but that'll come out in paperwork ahead of time. And one other question. I know that Devin's doing some high-head bypass study at Cougar.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an alternative that would shoot the fish into some tube that goes down the road? At this time, our PDT's direction is to design an FSS with truck transport. And until otherwise directed by management, that's our goal. So we will not be looking at volitional passage or other things outside, an FSS with truck transport.
There's just starting some internal discussion about how to use what information we've gained from the HIHEAD bypass team, and what do we need to further consider in order to get the discussion and a potential decision on volitional passage associated with either Cougar or Detroit. And we haven't got that board outlined yet. So as Erica was saying, their teams are currently working under the trap and haul assumption.
Yeah. So are you designing it so that if eventually someone came up with a great high-end bypass idea, that it could just be like
that little flume
and connect some pipes and go right where you want?
We do need to see if we do need to get kind of a status quo discussion going on. What do we know about volitional passage, and should we be considering, like you suggest, any aspects of in the design process to be adaptable to volitional, or are we not even there yet? I think we should at least get recognition of where we are in our information and do we need to think about.
I think during the EDR, we had discussions about how feasible would it be to put a bypass through, and this port didn't want to put a new hole through Cougar Dam. So, I guess to me it'd be worthwhile having a conversation about, how feasible is it to, down into that tower in Alfred RO. I mean, you don't do that while you have all the other uses of that tower.
Mm-hmm. In the EDR, we talked about, we didn't attribute a biological benefit to volitional passage, mm-hmm. which probably should have been something there. So when we started looking at it cost-wise, it was going to cost more, and you're not going to get benefit. So that was kind of a non-starter. Whether that's right or not, at least that's the way it ranked out. Cougar doesn't have excess capacity. There's no hole in the dam that we're not using right now.
Right.
So it's really tough to say we're going to use some of the RO capacity to put another thing through, so we probably have to drill another hole.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't just have this be part of here.
But Detroit is probably different. That's where we left it in the EDR, whether that was perfectly accurate.
Yeah, but I guess, as Erica said, again, our managers, the PDG directed to look at trap and haul at this time. We are starting some internal discussion about how should we consider what we've learned about volitional passage, and should we seek direction from management to add that element to the design process or not for Cougar. We're not there yet.
That's okay. I'm hearing Melissa's voice right now, channeling Melissa. She's like, don't do it anyways because we're not okay with that. I hit my fast. So until we get better, certainty with the type of volitional bypass we might have in the HIHEAD dam, I think
we're good. We may bring it to the table at some point, but we're not there yet. Okay. Thanks, Erica.
Yeah, that's all I have to do that. If there's no further questions.
Thank you.
Anyone on the phone? Any more questions about the Cougar Workshop and what Erica presented? Cool. Okay.
Thanks for the information.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
That is our agenda for today. So,
except for the...
Oh, no, it's not.
Three.
We had jumped over to one. Sorry. We got another good one.
Almost forgot again. Walking through the report.
Okay, yeah, the 30%, 90% stuff.
Erica and I were asked to put together It's kind of a content for milestone document, and so we all know what to expect at each milestone, and maybe, you know, sometimes we think, okay, why isn't this done, or why isn't that done, and maybe it's at a later stage. So this just kind of lays out what we would expect to see. One thing I noticed that I forgot in here is naval architecture. So I used all of our past fish facilities from our adult facilities, and, you know, they're not floating. So you'll notice that naval architecture isn't here, but it would probably be lumped in with structural because it's really the floating structure there. But as I was looking through all these criteria, so in the 30%, you see that we're really identifying our design criteria, identifying references, loads, assumptions. And in the 30%, we're very heavy in biological, obviously. That's our whole facility and what it's going to look like and how big it's going to be. And hydraulics and hydrologic is the other big focus of the 30%. And so we talk about each of the items that we're going to be working on here, identifying the kind of secondary, actually geotechnical is also big during the beginning of 30% DDR, so that's how you're going to found your structure. So the secondary are more the structural, mechanical, electrical, you know, we'll have some upfront work, but the big focus is biological and hydraulic. I don't know, did we want to
Did we want to ask your question? We were thinking, well, this is the EDR. Haven't you already identified species of concern back in the EDR?
Well,
yes.
So, I mean,
you would hope so.
Ideally,
you would.
Here. I was also looking at Minto. So when we did Minto, and I think maybe Foster, we didn't have EDR.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, a lot of this stuff could probably be moved to the EDR, and a lot of it's probably cut and paste from the EDR, but really, the DDR is the criteria that it should be all inclusive that has
right,
all that information in there. So either identify or just copy paste from the DDR. So 30% is really setting the stage. How big is this going to be? How much water are we going to have? How many fish? What fish? And all that. And then we start developing some preliminary sketches that, you know, will carry over our EDR. Sketches, and we'll refine them a little bit, and what does this thing actually look like, and we'll have some plans and sections, and we'll have a 3D CAD model that we start to show everybody, you know, what it actually looks like. This is the ideal world, too. As I was looking back at all the TDRs that we've done, I'm not sure that we've had all of this information in all of these milestones. You know, some of this stuff might show up a little bit later, but this is really what we should be striving for. And then in the 60% DDR is really where, yes, we're still, you know, we have focus on biological. We're going to make sure we're meeting criteria, and we're doing all the stuff that's good for the fish, and hydraulic, you know, is going to be doing a lot of their numerical, maybe physical modeling in the 60% DDR. But then we're starting to focus more on the structures, the naval architecture, mechanical, electrical, getting more into those details on how we're actually going to make things work and move. So I think 60% is where you start seeing, you know, a lot more of that information. And we strive to have all of our hydraulic designs done by 60%, right? Right?
And so if you were to do physical modeling, that would be before you finish the 60%?
Probably depends on the specific features we're looking at, but yeah, we're trying to get out much past 60% and we're keeping the time for the finalized screen design and cleaner,
So I think 60% is where your meat of your information is, the bulk of your information and your design and all your drawings, everything is. And then when you move on to the 90% is when we start finalizing things, tying a bow on everything. This is how it's, you know, it's going to look like, and finalizing calculations and everything. This is where mechanical and electrical really get to do the bulk of their work, because H&H is finished and the structural is finished, you know, until they're starting to, they get, mechanical and electrical get to finish their time. So, anyway, that was, the 60 and the 90%, that's also when our construction, civil, real estate costs, all those folks start to, you know, do their work. And so we can figure out how we're going to actually build.
That's the 90%.
Well, they start in at about 60%, but really I think the bulk of their work is between the 60 and the 90%. And then I didn't put a final in here because that's just, you know, finalizing, incorporating comments.
I'm curious as to why the real estate costs are at the very end, because wouldn't you pretty much at least know that part pretty much straight away?
The real estate? Well,
yeah.
We've also got real estate.
I'm sure identifying them at
60. Yeah. So a lot of times, I'm thinking about Detroit, we don't really know what it looks like right now. So we started talking to real estate, but we won't really know until 60%. So I think that's when we start to bring them in, you know.
Okay.
And of course, they're attending meetings. They're, you know, they're hearing what we're talking about at around 30%. But they don't really start actually doing work, I guess, around the 60%.
What about like a mint when we had to actually buy that property across the street? Didn't you work on that one?
Yeah, we did. And we knew pretty early on that. We did, yeah. We worked on that probably around the 60% EDR, and then.
Real estate is really going to be involved in at least downstream at least locations and its construction sites, but could
aging,
be dating
areas
and stuff like that. So I kind of a question, like after what Erica talked about, and you got Erica's group, Cooper PDT, is working on these kind of detailed alternative, well, not detailed, but main component alternatives. By the time you release the 30%, will you pretty much have settled on what those main transport through access.
No, we won't have those selected. The 30%, like I mentioned earlier, has already gone through district quality control.
Oh, okay.
And really, it focuses on talking about each one of these aspects. So it touches a little bit on each piece, and we need to, early in the 60%, like, narrow it down.
Narrow it down,
yeah.
So that they can start really putting in some good work.
Right. When I said this was ideal, this was assuming that all of the alternative type selections are done during the EDR, but, you know, these projects are a lot different. And this is based on adult fish passage,
yeah.
Right? That is easier. We know more about.
No, but it seems useful, though. Just like you said, starting out, just giving some sense for what 30, 15, 90, so that people know, okay, we're covering these elements, we're going to be covering these other things later.
It's not that you missed, but you forgot that you had to deal with real estate.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Would you guys think that we could use this as a check-in at some level and say, well, okay, here's about where we are. This is, I know, idealized, but generally when people are asking, well, when do I get to talk about the downstream release?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I'm also, like, for the Detroit FSS AE, I'm giving this to them. I'm going to use this as a check-in when they give me their 30%. You know, I'm going to ask them, where's this? So, yeah, I think it's a good starting point. Knowing it's a work in progress. I
yeah,
so.
Well, every project has got its own unique element and timing, but
I think it might be helpful, like, when you release the 30% for our review, to have, you know, either in the intro or something, some sort of a, something like this, that says, you know, these sections are going to be filled in at 60 or the 90%. Maybe, you know, I have seen sometimes when you get to the appendix page and it says, coming soon.
Yeah, or even using the outline and putting
yeah.
a column that's included in yes mm-hmm. or no, so no.
So then we know whether it was just... Because sometimes when we review them, we're like, oh, gee, maybe somebody forgot that.
yeah.
typo.
Yeah.
We
left a whole paragraph.
Okay, you guys have a comment on the stuff that, well, we did.
Yeah.
We didn't get there yet.
You purposely meant to leave it out.
Yeah. Anyone on the phone? Comments on what we're talking about and how this outline might be used?
No, I think it's a good thing to have.
This is very helpful. Thank you very much.
I have a comment just for compliance, because I'll be doing all the NEPA and Section 7 and all of that compliance for both teams. So we're starting to kind of outline how we want that whole process to go now during the 30%, and then, you know, the bulk of my work will start at 60% because we'll have more details. No, I don't know where the areas are right now and, you know, what those impacts might look like. But I was looking
at... left in the conference.
I have been looking at prior work like Minto and even the temperature control tower for Kaiguro, how... especially section. And it seems like, at least for Minto, the more recent ones, our Section 7 consultation was basically through these types of meetings for NIST, but there was an actual, I think it was the VA done for the position analyzed for this. I'm not sure. So I wanted to kind of check in with, was it Mike? You know, maybe we can chat offline about how you kind of envision that going for these two projects. And also check if you'd like to coordinate that.
I think that we may not have called it a BA, but there was some document that you guys put together that kind of said, here's how we're going to be doing this in greater detail than what we usually see, like at 60%, so that it would say, you know, we're going to basically to address the kinds of conditions that we have in the incidental take statement about how to do construction. And, you know, we're going to follow all these best management practices that are identified here. And if there's any that you're not going to follow, then, you know, start explaining how those, why, you know, and what you're going to do to minimize any of that. But we do need to make sure that it lines up with what we called out in the incidental take statement, or else then we do need to resolve.
Plan to follow up with Mike and Stephanie.
Yes.
I'll follow up. Great, now we've got to call them. So, notes, if you have comments, please send them by the end of the week, the 9th, and then we'll finalize our May 2nd meeting notes. 26th is our workshop date at this point, and materials will be sent out as soon as possible for review. And then our next regularly scheduled meeting is July 11th at NIMS office. As we approach that, we'll get an agenda and details out for that meeting. Anyone have anything else for today? Thanks, Christine and Erica, for the information.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. This was really helpful.
Hi, this is Natalie. Has left the conference.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Has left the conference.